Welcome to Resilience Rock Sales, your front row seat to rocking your sales game. I'm your host, Stacey Kopass. Today's episode is brought to you by the Academy of Resilience Inner Circle. For more information, head to academyofresilience.com.au. Now on with the show. Hello and welcome to the episode of Resilience Rock Sales. Today I am joined by author of Endless Referrals, the Go-Giver series, and more recently, Streetwise to Saleswise. I'm so excited to introduce you to my friend, Bob Berg. Bob, welcome to the show.
Stacey, thank you. You are one of my best buds who I've never actually met in person. So this is the first time, and one of my favorite people, absolutely. And it's just an honor and a delight and a pleasure to be with you. So thank you for having me.
I'm very excited. I was saying to Bob earlier that I've been super immersed in his fabulous books. And the interesting thing was I first came across Bob many, many, many years ago through your book, Endless Referrals. Ah. And I know that I've recommended it to many of my clients as well. But more recently, definitely been immersed in the Go-Giver series. And I'm actually three quarters through your most recent book, Streetwise to Saleswise. But to start with, what I'd really love to do is if you could just give us a little bit of the Bob Berg story and particularly what brought you to be here today to be so well known for these wonderful books that are helping millions of salespeople around the world.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you know, I actually began in broadcasting. So I started out in radio doing sports, and then I was doing news for a local network affiliate, but it was a very small one in the Midwestern United States. And the good thing about it was being so small was you had to learn how to do everything. So you learned how to shoot how to actually use the camera, how to, write up a story, how to produce a story, and so forth. But, you know, the fact was I wasn't really that good at it. You know, the news just was not my thing. I was very young and I didn't really know the news and I didn't really care at that time. So it wasn't long before I wasn't in the news business anymore. And so I got a job in sales. And I had no idea what to do because I had never had any formal sales training. And apparently the company where I started working didn't either, because they pretty much just said, go out, tell people about the, you know, about the what I was selling and hopefully get a sale. You know, okay. Well, that didn't really work for me. So for a few months, I was really struggling, really floundering. And then I went into a bookstore one day looking for something. Now, this is 40 years ago. And, you know, today, everybody knows about sales books and personal development books and all those. Man, that just wasn't the case. Unless you knew, you didn't know. So I went in the bookstore looking for something on business, figuring hopefully it will help me. But I saw a couple of books on sales. One was by Zig Ziglar and one was by Tom Hopkins, two of the legends in the sales space. And I got the books and I like to say I did not read them. I devoured them. I would, after work every day, I would just start studying them and practicing and learning and highlighting and underlining and, you know, into the wee hours of the morning. I mean, I was just, and within a few weeks, Stacey, my sales were going great. How could that be? What was it? You know, I hadn't really changed much as a person in 3 weeks, but my sales certainly had. And really what it was in this case was that I had a methodology that I could use. I had a system. And I personally define a system as the process of predictably achieving a goal based on a logical and specific set of how-to principles, the key being predictability. If it's been proven that by doing A, you can get the desired result of B, then you know all you need to do is A and continue to do A, and you'll eventually get the desired results of B. And so that's really what happened. But what was really great was not just the learning, the sales part, which was, again, I enjoyed that a lot, but the personal development aspect that came along with it, because they kept, you know, I'd start, the more I read on sales, the more they said, well, you want to get other books on, you know, like How to Win Friends and Influence People and The Magic of Thinking Big and Think and Grow Rich and Psycho-Cybernetics and all these classic sales, really personal development books. And I started realizing, you know, success, because I was not a good student in school, And I began realizing success is really an inside job. I mean, it manifests itself outwardly, but it begins here and here, right? The head and the heart. And so that, to me, this was like a breakthrough. And I, you know, continued doing sales, eventually worked my way up to sales manager with another company, and started then being asked to teach other companies what was working. And I thought, hey, this is really cool. I could do a business, like this. And joining National Speakers Association then, and learning how to have a speaking business, start write books, yada, yada, yada. Here we are today.
Wow. And now, obviously, you're so well known globally for being such a thought leader in the sales space. And so it's so interesting, isn't it, now, because the sales reps of today go to the bookshop, and where you went and picked up, Zig and Tom, then they're picking up Bob. And
thank you.
Going back 40 years ago, could you ever, ever have imagined that where we are now, people are now picking up your books to learn?
You bring up a great point, because I never would have thought of something like that. In fact, I really hadn't thought of that till you just mentioned it. That there's some young Bob Burr going in there looking for a sales book, and maybe they see one of mine. And of course, there's a lot of great sales books out there, and so they could be picking up one of 100 or 200 of them and benefiting from them. But yeah, just to know that mine could be one of them, it's a good feeling. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, oh, look, it's exciting, because I'm mentoring somebody at the moment, and she's 19, and she's just got this mindset that she just wants to go out and make a lot of money. And I said to her, well, the way to do that is you need to get into sales. You need to find somewhere where you can get into commission sales. So, and then she's like, oh, I want to do this course. I said, stop for a moment. All you want to do right now is buy two books, The Go Giver and Go Giver Sell More. I said, read them. I said, you do that now, especially as a 19-year-old. I said, don't worry about tactics or anything like that yet. You get those philosophies down pat, and I feel that, really anything is possible. So it's been really cool.
You just made my day. Thank you.
Oh, it's
mean more
been
to me than you can imagine.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And I love when I see someone on Facebook or any of the platforms mentioning your stuff. I love to just give you a tag and just let you know that there's people out there that are really appreciating what you're doing as well. And I get a lot of joy in being able to connect those dots as well. For those people that perhaps aren't familiar, I guess particularly we'll look at the Go Giver, because there's the series there. And I think that's a really good place for people to start for an introduction into your world and your thinking. Would you want to give us just a little bit of a background or a little bit of an overview of the Go Giver philosophy and where people would start with that?
Sure. And the Go Giver books themselves were co-authored with a guy named John David Mann. And he was really the lead writer, right? The storyteller, because they're parables. Three out of the four of them are parables. So they're business stories. So works of fiction. And he's such a wonder. I'm more of a how-to guy. I'm that system step-by-step guy. I'm the boring guy. John is just a brilliant writer. So I really want to credit him with making that happen. But the basic premise, Stacey, is simply that shifting your focus, and I think this is really where it all begins, shifting your focus from getting to giving. And when we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing immense value to others, understanding that doing so is not only a more fulfilling way of conducting business, it's also the most financially profitable way as well. And not for any kind of, woo-woo, way out there, magical, mystical type of reasons. Not at all. It actually makes sense and is in accordance with human nature, because when you're that person who can take your focus off of yourself and really place it on serving others, discovering their needs, their wants, their desires, focusing on helping them to solve their challenges and problems, when you can move off of yourself and make it about moving them closer to happiness, well, people feel good about you. They feel great about you. They want to get to know you. They like you. They trust you. They want to be in relationship with you. They want to do business with you, but they also want to tell the world about you. They want to be your personal walking ambassador. And the interesting part, so with the protege, the young woman you're mentoring, when she says she wants to go out and make a lot of money, great. But nobody's going to buy from her because she wants to make a lot of money. They're only going to buy from her because she has found a way to provide immense value to them. People will willingly pay you when you have what they need, want, or desire. This is why John and I say that money is simply an echo of value, right? It's the thunder, if you will, to value's lightning, which means the focus. What she must do is focus on that other person, focus on the value she's providing them, and then the money she brings in that she receives will be a very natural result of the value she's provided.
Yeah, I absolutely love the way that you described that. And obviously that's from the Go-Giver, then talking about the thunder and lightning and you said, and you know, you said John being such a great writer as well. And I listened to the books, and I've listened to both of them, I don't know, at least 10 times each now, because that I also love just, again, how vivid it is. But it is, it's those things like saying about the thunder and the lightning and things like that, like they really stick. And obviously stories do stay with us. And yep. Then the stories then enable us to then take to heart and into practice the principles that you're sharing. And that's what I loved in The Go-Giver, where the question of will this make money, and being, that's a great question, but not the first question, isn't it? And that was a reminder that I gave her as well. And again, just all about being interested, genuinely interested in people and how you can be of service. And I think that's always, I guess for me, it's been something that I've sort of done more naturally, but it's really nice to then hear those things and then go, oh, actually, this is good. But I also love too that you touch on as well that this is more just the natural way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And can you just dig a little bit deeper on what you mean by that?
Well, I think part of human nature, Stacey, is that we want to feel as though we're making a contribution. You know, it's very natural. We want to feel as though we are making a difference, that we are what Wallace D. Wattles, in his classic 1910 book, The Science of Getting Rich, called adding life, okay? Adding more life. And that's really what it's all about. Now, as business people, we tend to do that mainly, or as entrepreneurs, salespeople, we do that mainly through our products and services, okay? And we have a bigger, you know, reason. My good friend Lisa Earl McLeod, our speaking colleague, she has a series of books called Noble Purpose, so Leading with Noble Purpose and Selling with Noble Purpose. And she has documented that companies, that salespeople who have a noble purpose for what they're selling. Okay. So it's got to be more than just the money. Again, money's a great thing. We should all earn a whole lot of it as a result of providing value. But the more noble a purpose you have for what you're doing, the more money you're going to earn, because we're human. It taps into our need to contribute. So absolutely, that is just such an important element. And it doesn't have to be that you're curing cancer. It doesn't have to be that it can be anything that you're doing. There's some reason above and beyond the product or service, in some way you're touching a person's life. And by the way, it may not even be only through the product or service. It might be because as the sales professional, you were there with a listening ear when they needed it, or you had the empathy to understand that they were having some kind of issue, and you know what I'm saying? So there's lots of ways, but really the more human we can be and just tap into the general principles and laws of human nature, the more successful we're going to be.
It's a really good distinction too, because as you said, sometimes it's like people think, well, I'm not curing cancer. Like they think that what they are doing or delivering or providing isn't big enough. And I feel that, as you said, if you can bring it down to that more human level, as you said, mm-hmm. it more often simple it is. And even, as you said, just being someone that was there to listen at the right time, that's so much more valuable. But it's something that people sort of, I think people often overlook the simple, don't they? And they think, it's got to be more complex. There's got to be more to it. And have you found that as well through your experience too?
That's such a great point. You know, one of the guiding principles, and this goes back to endless referrals, and you saw it in The Go-Giver, was, you know, where we say all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. It's all about the relationship. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, the product has to be good. The service has to be good. Yeah, you know, all that is, that gets you into the game, right, to play. But that's not enough to distinguish you from others. We distinguish ourselves through our humanity and through finding ways to make other people's lives better.
And what a great way to actually go through life, isn't it? Is looking for ways to make other people's lives better. And I've spoken about it in my book too, around and how to be resilient is usually the quickest way to solve your own problem is to help someone solve theirs, isn't it? And be of service, go and help somebody. And just even through the act of, you've probably found the same so many times over the course of your life, you're having a conversation with someone, working through their stuff, and then this little light bulb goes off in your own head, doesn't it? And go, okay, I've got it. I figured out something that was bothering me or challenging me as well. So it's just a nice place to be. And how do you then with that, with people that perhaps might be new to this principle and people that might be, I guess, being trained in a more traditional, hustle approach to sales, where do you feel is the best place for them to start in going out there and being of service, but genuinely doing it without expectation?
So first, I think it comes down to their having to understand why doing it this way is actually better for them. Okay. So, and here's what I mean. Let's say that I am the salesperson and you are the prospective customer. Okay. And I really need the money. I am just focused just on the money. And that's how I approach things, because that's what I've been taught about sales. The big thing, get their money, right? You know, and so forth. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not that much. So we're in the sales conversation. And yeah, I ask you questions because I took the training course and we learned how to ask questions and so forth. But I'm not really that interested in your deep reasons why, as much as I'm looking for a way to be able to sharp angle you later into closing the sale. When you have an objection, yeah, I'm going to give you the standard answers to it, but I'm a little resentful of the objections, because your objections, Stacey, are standing in the way of my money, right? I'm closing early and I'm closing often because I need to get that sale. I want that money. Now, if you're the prospect, how likely is it going to be that you are going to want to do business with me and buy from me right now? And the chances are probably not very good, because you know I don't really have your best interest at heart. I'm probably telling you whatever I need to say to get the money, right? Okay, now that's the salesperson who's I-focused or me-focused. Okay, now let's take another scenario. And I'm still that same person. I need the money and it'd be great to have. And, you know, I'm in business, but I'm going to do something different. Now, I'm not going to deny my self-interest, because as human beings, that's also part of human nature. We are self-interested. It's how our cave person ancestors survived the day, right? Millions of years ago or whatever. But you know, and it got into our DNA, and it, sure. But so I'm not going to deny it, but I am going to suspend my self-interest. I'm going to put it to the side and I'm going to focus on you. And now when I ask you questions, I'm listening. And I'm listening because I really want to understand what's driving you, what it is that you need, what you want, what you desire, why this is something that would be beneficial for you. What are your issues? How can I help make your life better? I'm asking these questions. And I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to realize that because we come from two different sets of beliefs and ways of looking at the world, because we're all human, we all have our individual, right? I'm not going to assume that I understand what you mean just by what you say. So I'm going to gently and tactfully clarify in order to really get a deeper understanding. And only once I really know that in my heart that I know, now I'm going to connect the benefits of my product or service with your needs, wants, and desires. Okay. Now, when you have an objection, I'm going to welcome that objection. And it's going to be genuine, because the fact is you need to feel comfortable with the process. And I'm going to let you know that. And then instead of just answering your objection with some standard objection, because maybe the objection you asked isn't really the actual objection. It's just sort of a manifestation that you're not comfortable with something or there's something, but there's a deeper reason for it, right? Instead of just answering that question, I'm going to empathize and we're going to work together, the two of us, to get to the very root, the very heart of the objection, and then work through it together in partnership in order to advance the sale. Now, by the time I ask you to take action, really, I'm simply asking you to do something that you've already told me that you want to do that's going to satisfy your needs, wants, desires, solve your problem, bring you closer to happiness, right? So, but the big thing is that you can tell that I have your well-being at heart. Are you more likely or less likely to want to do business with me right now? And chances are probably pretty good, a lot better, right? So when you can share this with that person who's been brought up with the sales is just saying whatever you have to do to get, you know, sales is, when you can help them see that it's actually the most self-interested thing they can do is to take their self-interest and put it to the side and make it all about, as we say, law number three of the Go-Giver, the law of influence, place the other person's interest first. You do that and your interests will be well taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also, I just find it's so much less pressure when you do that as well. It's sort of acting again without feeling a great expectation or anything like that.
Just going in there. Right.
No, the attachment's not there. It's like intention. Right. Like I'm really in the space these days of intention without attachment.
Ah, ooh, I love that. Yeah.
It's something that just came to me through lots of exploring and self reflection. And I'm just like, that's my space. And that's what it really feels like when you describe that. It is. It's going there with the intention to serve, to learn. And what a great opportunity to have interesting conversations with interesting people along the way. That's I think that's, it's so much more enjoyable. And I know you touched on there on objection, and objection's obviously the theme of the latest book, Streetwise to Saleswise. I'd love if you could just share just a little bit about that book as well. Again, it's just, I'm immersed in it. I love the imagery in it, the storytelling in it, and I'm about three quarters through, so I haven't quite finished yet, but I would love to, I'd love to hear your overview on how that helps people with that objection piece in their sales processes.
Yeah, well, this again is a business parable, and this was co-authored with Jeff West. And what's interesting is Jeff was a client of mine 25 years ago. He was the state sales coordinator, really state sales director. He had a very, very large sales team in Texas in the U.S., and he was a fantastic leader. And since then, when he retired from the insurance field, he speaks and he coaches and so forth, but his love is writing. So he learned how to write. And what's interesting, small world type of thing, his writing coach is John David Mann, my co-author of the
Go-Giver.
Yeah, I know. And so Jeff and I wrote this together. And he was the master storyteller. He was, and just did such a fantastic job. And basically, you know, as salespeople, the teaching has always been to overcome the objection. There's a problem with that, though. You really can't do that. Why? Because to overcome, which would be to convince someone, right? Remember Dale Carnegie in How to Win Friends and Influence People said, a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. And is there any other way to be convinced other than against one's will? The old Latin root of the word convince, convincere, meant to conquer, right? Does any prospect want to be conquered by their salesperson? No. So you have what we call push, right? Which never works. And so rather than try to overcome the objection, instead what we need to do is work within the objection, and again, work in partnership with our prospect in order to get to the actual root of the objection. Only at that point, Stacy, are you able to constructively together work through that. But if you're just trying to answer objections, or remember too, you know, a lot of times the objection that person gives you isn't necessarily their actual objection. I'm not saying they're lying. If they are, that's a whole different, that's a trust issue, and that's, you got to build that first. But a lot of times what it is the salesperson who does their business, who conducts a sales conversation every single day, or you know, is involved in their business every single day, they know their business inside and out. But your customer, it might be something that they're buying once or twice in their life or five times or whatever. They don't have the same experience with it. So they don't sometimes know what to ask, what to expect. They don't want to come across appearing unknowledgeable, or for whatever reason they have feelings about it that they just don't feel comfortable. They may not even know what the actual objection is, but they kind of sense there's something that just isn't right. So, but since they don't exactly know what it is, they just kind of spew forth something like, well, the price is too high. I want to think it over. I've got to talk with my brother-in-law's next door neighbor's cousin twice removed who once bought something like that, you know, that sort of thing. And so, so if we're trying to overcome objections by giving the standard answer to the objection, we could be delivering a flawless, wonderfully, you know, rehearsed and given answer to the wrong objection. So what we really teach in the story, and it's about a young guy from the streets of New Orleans who comes up, and he in New Orleans in the States, for those who have been there, just a really fun city. There's a lot of music. And so there was a big musical theme, and Jeff, my co-author, was a musician. So that was something that so we try to mix a fun story with, you know, with some things in there that hopefully will really help the sales professional.
Oh, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I love that you touched on the music theme there, because there's one final twist to the Resilience Rocks theme here too. Resilience Rocks being that, you know, obviously it helps your sales resilience, rocks being strong and foundational resilience being a core part of being successful in sales. There's also a musical twist. So Resilience Rocks as in being rock music. And I find that music is probably one of the quickest ways to change your state in 3 to 5 minutes. And so for you personally, if you needed to change your state, do you have a go-to song that you would play just to get yourself into a different energy in a quick space of time?
Oh, that's a wonderful question, because there are certain songs that, you know, at different times kind of give me different energy. Lately, I've been really listening to a lot of the old Electric Light Orchestra, which is
Yellow.
Oh, gosh, they were great. When I was growing up, they were great. You know, I'm 66, so they were big in the 70s, but I've kind of rediscovered them again. And it groups like Chicago just have some songs that I can sit back and listen to their music, and it's like, wow, I just feel so good. So
amazing. Yeah. Yep. I've got a playlist on Spotify called Resilience Rock, so I'm going to go and grab an ELO track, and I'm going to whack it on there in honor of you, Bob. So thank you so much for your time today. It's been such a pleasure, both for our listeners, but also personally, to finally connect properly after being connected and moving in similar circles online for many, many years. And those that have enjoyed this conversation and would like to get to know more about you and your work, where is the best place for people to connect with you to continue on being in your ecosystem after this conversation today?
Thank you. Probably the best place is burg.com. And while they're there, they can, if they'd like, subscribe to my daily impact email, which I send out Mondays through Fridays.
That sounds amazing. And thank you so much again, Bob. It's been an absolute pleasure. And to our listeners, I really look forward to joining with you on the next episode in Resilience Rock Sales. And until we meet again, be your best.
Thanks for joining us again this week on Resilience Rock Sales. Don't just listen though, take action. The best sales professionals are always learning. Head over to resiliencerocks.com now to go backstage and get the resources mentioned today to help rock your sales goals.